Well, it is time for one of the most anticipated racing weeks anywhere in the world. The Royal Ascot Carnival kicks off tonight, and there will be plenty of bleary-eyed Australians this week watching some of the best horses in the world and the pageantry of five magnificent race days. And Lee Mottershead from the Racing Post will be there, and he is Racing Pulse's correspondent who we can live vicariously through, because crowds are back, the weather is good, and so are the superstars. And Lee, how is the excitement and the build-up over there on the eve of Royal Ascot?
Yeah, can't wait, Michael, can't wait. It's not going to be a completely normal Royal Ascot. We're only going to have 12,000 people in every day. The place can take five, six times as many as that at this meeting. We're not going to have a royal procession. The Queen won't be there every day. So it will be different. But heck, it's going to be very different to last year as well, which was one of the most surreal experiences I've ever had on a race course. Ascot's got a huge grandstand, they call it Heathrow Terminal 5, it's that big, and with nobody in it, it did feel an awfully strange Royal Ascot. This will feel more like it, and the racing looks fantastic.
It certainly does, and Frankie Dettori's the headline as far as trainers and jockeys are concerned, and the crowds coming back for Frankie have him even more fired up, and gee, he's got the opportunity. We know he's had 73 Royal Ascot winners, but once again to be the leading jockey with the rides that he's got. Here's a little snippet from Frankie about how much he's looking forward to this year's Royal Ascot.
The crowd gets behind me and I love it. I'm not going to lie to you, I love it. I'm not different to an actor going on stage on the theatre. I love it. I need the crowd. I need the atmosphere. I can smell it. I can breathe it. I can taste it. It's part of me. I'm sorry. You know, I'm addicted to it.
So you can win another Ascot title this year?
Why not? Look, we go into Ascot every year. Everybody thinks you got good rides. They are to win, you know. In this day, now we go one extra race every day. To win it, you need at least six. Five, I don't think five is enough anymore. But you need to get them winners on the board, because the days they used to win it with four winners, I think they're long gone now.
There is an extra race every day, and Frankie, I just love it every time he speaks, the passion he has. And he's on a couple of the headline acts, and he kicks it off in the first with the Queen Anne Stakes Palace Pier, and of course Stradivarius looking for the record in the Gold Cup later in the week as well.
Yeah, he's got a sensational book of rides. It's no wonder he's excited. I remember this time last year on the Tuesday of Alaska, he was talking about having had two or three very strong coffees to psych himself up, because he needs people around him. There will be people today, and he's got the horses to entertain those people. As you said, Michael, the very first race of the meeting, he rides the best horse in the world at the moment. On the figures, Palace Pier is the world's number one. He's a tremendously exciting miler. He'll start odds on favourite in the Queen Anne Stakes. He seeks to build on his growing reputation. He should win that race. He might well win the second race too. He's on an interesting juvenile for John Gosden. In that one, and as the week goes on, he's got Lord North on Wednesday, who may well start a favourite for the Prince of Wales' stakes race he won last year. And on Thursday, in many ways, his big ride of the week, in what should be the signature race of Royal Ascot. The Gold Cup is Ascot's most famous horse race. And this year, you know, we've got an absolute humdinger with Stradivarius trying to become only the second horse to win that race on four occasions. He's been kept in training, delayed his stud career until the age of seven to try and win this for a fourth time. But it's a massively deep Gold Cup this year, with added spice coming from Serpentine. Last year's Derby winner of Epsom, he's the first Derby winner since 1970 to run in the Gold Cup. 51 years since that happened. And he really does make it an even more interesting contest. Great races again on Friday, two Group 1s there, the Commonwealth Cup and the Coronation Stakes, and we end with a humdinger of a sprint, the Diamond Jubilee on Saturday. As you say, more races, one more race every day, huge field handicaps, what's not to like?
Absolutely, that Gold Cup, which we'll all be waiting up to see the star Stradivarius, it's also got that Australian flavour in it as well, because of course Twilight Payment goes around in it, so does Master of Reality, so it'll be interesting. Team Lloyd Williams say that after Royal Ascot, they usually whittle down the horses that they will be bringing out from Europe for the Spring Carnival. And just on that, has there been any talk about horses maybe looking towards the spring despite the hard protocols that have been put in place?
Michael, I would be lying if I said I really had heard any chatter about that so far. But, you know, that's not really unusual. We know there's a different narrative to the internationals and the spring this year, and that's been very well debated. But I think even in a normal year, people tend to look here at Royal Ascot, and then once they get Royal Ascot over, they start to think about the rest of life and the rest of the job. So I think once we get to July, we'll hear more talk about it. That's when people traditionally start thinking about whether they want to take up that challenge. They've clearly got more to think about this year. I still think we'll have horses going down to join you for the spring. Clearly, I'd say in smaller numbers, that's the intention anyway. But I don't think we'll hear much about that until July. Right now, everyone in the flat business over here, and indeed across Europe, is really thinking purely about the Royal Meeting.
Speaking of horses that would do well in Australia, Batash would love to get him out here to Australia, and he once again goes around in the Kingstown Stakes, and he reminds me of an Aussie-style sprinter. We're going to have a chat a little later to Joe Janiak and relive the great history of Takeover Target at Royal Ascot, which you would remember very fondly. But Batash, the best sprinter in Europe, does he just win again the Kingstown Stakes?
I think he probably does, but it's not a penalty kick. He is like an Aussie sprinter, as you say, Michael. In some ways, we've been quite fortunate the last few years because we've been largely missing those Aussie sprinters we so enjoyed watching over here. But the last few years, our sprint division has improved. So we've not really been lacking in quality. And Batash, second this race twice, won it last year. A sensational horse over this 5 furlong distance. But the difference this year is that although he's coming into the race first time out, and that's a great thing for him because he always wins first time out, he's had a slightly rushed preparation. He had a minor fracture diagnosed over December last year. That was treated. It wasn't a big thing, but it needed treating. It just meant that they haven't been able to get a race into him on the way to Ascot. And it's a deep race. There's a progressive young 3-year-old sprinting filly called Winter Power in there. There's an American Raider, extravagant kid, who won the Breeders' Cup. Oxford won the July Cup at Newmarket last year. This is a good race. But Batash, if he's at his best, he'll win the race. And if he does win the race, I think people will be saying, how on earth were we able to get 2-1 about a horse like Batash? That's his price at the moment. And I think he'll win.
Yeah, it is a brilliant day one, as you mentioned. 3 group ones. But there's a little bit of added spice today as well, because Rachel Blackmore rides today for the first time, I believe, at Royal Ascot, and she's on a horse called Cape Gentleman in the Ascot Stakes. She's dominated Cheltenham. She conquered Aintree. How will she go at Royal Ascot? Has there been much media build-up?
There hasn't been a huge amount, because I don't think we were aware until relatively recently that Rachel would be riding the horse. The trainer, Emmett Mullins, clearly one of the Mullins dynasty in Ireland, he is incredibly shrewd. And he tends to keep his cards quite close to his chest. So it was great to learn that Rachel was going to ride the horse. A horse would have a chance as well. Basically, anything that Emmett Mullins runs over here tends to go well. Rachel has spoken about her excitement at riding at Royal Ascot. And heck, you know, she's been in such incredible form, writing amazing headlines these last few months in Britain and in Ireland. As you say, Cheltenham, and then making history in the Grand National. You absolutely wouldn't put it past her. Perhaps ironically, the big danger to Emmett Mullins winning this race is probably his uncle, Willie Mullins, who has always to be feared in the long-distance handicaps at Royal Ascot. He's got MC Muldoon, the favourite for this race, with Ryan Moore on board, and Ray Appalvin, Vidam Kirby, the Derby-winning jockey, plus Royal Illusion, ridden by Aussie Tom Montaquin. So 3 chances for Willie in that race. But I wouldn't be surprised if Rachel Blackmore does it again.
It is going to be mouthwatering, and we'll catch up with you a little later in the week, Lee, to get all of the thrills and the spills. But we need you to give our Aussie listeners here on Racing Pulse a couple of good things for the week of Royal Ascot. Who are your best bets?
A couple of good things, Mark. That's a big ask. Well, I think for today, or for Tuesday's action, I look in Ebro River, the 2-year-old, trained by Hugo Palmer, ridden by James Dole, was very impressive in a little grace last coming. He's got a big chance in the Coventry Stakes. All right, Lucky Vega, going around a bend in the St. James' Palace Stakes. That will, I think, assist him significantly. Just fast forwarding through the week, Bo Beaufort is a very solid favourite in the Disney Cambridge Stakes on Wednesday afternoon. On Thursday, a huge field handicap, 31 in the Britannia, but Aries Air is one to look out for in that race. And in some ways, I think my best two of the week on Friday, Frankie, that man again, rides a seriously smart two-year-old filly called Floatus, trained by Simon and Ed Christmas in the Albany Stakes. I like her. And on Saturday, Trim of Green's been beaten twice into second place in the Diamond Jubilee, but looks at everything going for him in this year's race, and I tip him to win for the Michael Stout and Ryan Moore. So you can scrub all those off your list.
Lee, best of luck. Enjoy it. We'll catch up a little later in the week.
Come on. Cheers, Michael.